Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. It's Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up. Brought to you by
The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, and Dr. Jack Schaefer, along with HappyTrees.co and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Chuck, as you see, is at the world headquarters of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. Paper goes to the printer tomorrow and comes out then next week. So they're put in the sometimes, Chuck, not the final touches, I would say the beginning touches sometimes of your editorial on it. So he's working from there. Wanted to talk today, and I'm going to put my glasses on, about some of the stuff that is coming out about the Twitter files, but I think the bigger, broader picture, which, Chuck, I know we were watching last night, and we're like, holy cow, Tucker Carlson is saying the quiet part out loud, right?
Right, right. And I think you got a little tidbit from Tucker, right?
That's right. Let me play that in a second, though, because I want to kind of
you
talk
about
it.
Tell us what he's going to say.
I haven't recorded yet. I want to sort of set this. I mean, because to me, the more I was thinking about this, and we, you know, we've talked about the Conservative Treehouse. That's a great website if you guys don't go to it ever. And he's been saying this for a month now, really. And,
oh,
and
longer than that.
Yeah. And at first we're like, oh, I don't know. But I think once again, he's absolutely right. To me, Chuck and everybody, this has gone beyond conservative and liberal. It's much bigger than that. I think it is what I'm going to call, because I watch too many science fiction movies, it's sort of between the red-pilled people who see the truth, recognize the truth, and struggle for freedom, and then the people who willingly take the blue pill because they want to remain delusional, right? Either maybe because it benefits them or because it's just easier.
And how does that differ from conservative and liberal?
Well, in a way, I would say conservatives are much more likely to have taken the red pill. I mean, they tend to see things.
Well, I think it's really, you know, exactly the same. I mean, either you decide that you don't really care what the truth is, and or you've so convinced yourself and you live in such a bubble, or you believe that in things like free speech and elections that aren't rigged and.
A biological man can't actually give birth to a baby, and that parents should be able to say what, you know, what they think their kids should be taught in school, all of those kind of things. And you're right. They are sort of the same thing. But I think it's more scary than just sort of a political discourse, because for a while, I know I thought all of us in conservative media, I think, have seen places like Twitter, YouTube, Google, all these places, Gmail, even censoring conservative thought and speech. But I kind of was under the impression that they were sort of like-minded ideologues, like at Twitter, right? Who just were the you know, global coastal elite, and they just all kind of agreed and saw things the same way. But I think what we're seeing now, it's way worse than that. It's not just these left-wing ideologues who are happy to cooperate with the government and the deep state. I think it's the other way around. I think that it is, what I'm trying to look for my quote here from Tucker Carlson. He says, Twitter is actually an intelligence gathering apparatus and propaganda tool. And as Sundance has said, I'm at Conservative Treehouse, the Department of Homeland Security, the deep state, the security state, whatever you want to call it, it controls Twitter. That's why nobody cared that Twitter was making money or not making money, or in fact was losing money, right? That's how the whole thing operated. And it was
supported enormously by not only U.S. intelligence, but other countries' intelligence. If you could take over
right.
Twitter and control the election
in
Brazil and everything else, I mean, it's just amazing stuff. But what Sundance figured out early on was this: the Twitter model doesn't work. Every time you add a new person, you add an enormous amount of interconnection, which uses up an enormous amount of computer space and everything else. And so that the more Twitter followers you add, you don't do better, you do worse.
Right, exactly.
Because they don't individually pay you anything.
Right.
And he said it's just a shell game, and it's run by the intelligence units of lots of different countries. And I think, you know, when he said it, it seemed really far off.
Right.
And now even Tucker Carlson's going, wait a minute.
Well, exactly. And I think, like you said, initially when the files were released, we saw, okay, well, clearly the people at Twitter, who have since all been fired now, are operating and cooperating with the, I mean, they're meeting weekly with the FBI, they're meeting with Facebook. I mean, all of these things, they're cooperating with the deep state. But I think that what is becoming increasingly clear, and there's evidence for it, that it's the other way around. It's not that Twitter is cooperating with Homeland Security or you know what I mean? It's Homeland Security is controlling, or whatever you want to call it, deep state is controlling Twitter. And that's evidenced by the people who work for Twitter, which we're now finding out about. And this is, now we'll get you Tucker Carlson. Thomas, could we please play the Tucker Carlson soundbite number one?
Let's say you were trying to staff a social media site. Who would you hire? Well, obviously, since it's a tech business, you would hire tech people, coders, software engineers to keep the place running. Then you'd hire administrative staff because you had to, some lawyers, a caterer, a flack or two, maybe an interior decorator if you wanted HQ to look good. But how many spies would you hire? Well, probably none. Spies have nothing to do with the mission of a social media company. They would not be needed, and you wouldn't hire any opera singers either. Yet, for some reason, Twitter seemed to need an awful lot of spies. The upper ranks of Twitter, we now know, were absolutely loaded with people who once did intel work for government agencies. At least 15 of these people, and possibly many more. Most of them were hired in the wake of Donald Trump's election. Now, what were these people doing all day at what was supposedly a social media company? Well, that's the question, isn't it? We know that James Baker came from the FBI. He's been accused of secretly censoring and incriminating internal files before Elon Musk could release them to the public. Baker was fired for that. So that's some of what James Baker was doing at Twitter. But how about Charles Smith of Twitter's Trust and Safety Department? Smith joined Twitter after working at U.S. Cyber Command. Or how about Jeff Tokajer, formerly a director of Naval Counterintelligence? What was he doing? Or Kevin Michelina, or Doug Hunt, or Mark Jaruzelski, or Douglas Turner, or Karen Walsh, Russell Handorf, Vincent Lucera? All of these people once worked for the FBI as well. Their colleague Jeff Carlton came from the CIA. Patrick Conlon once worked at the NSA, and so on.
And, you know, and so I want to let people know now, hey, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, or go ahead and comment here. We got plenty of time today to read all of the message room chat. So what is particularly, I think, Chuck, and extremely, not particularly, but extremely alarming about this is it's what we're finding out now is that Twitter, it's not just about, you know, social media comments and opinions and things like that. The government is on there, not really, I think, just trying to kind of send or conservatives that they don't like. I think what is so dangerous about it is that we're seeing, and this is a conservative treehouse pointed out, that the government, the deep state, was using Twitter, and I think other social media companies as well, to either enhance a narrative or censor the narrative they want to get out there, to uplift a public perception or crush a public perception, to boost a candidate or to try to destroy a candidate.
And Sundance points out how this all began. He knows this, I have not the slightest idea, but he said during the Arab Spring at the beginning of the Obama administration came to him and said, gosh, we need help in promoting freedom throughout the Arab world. And you know, a lot of these groups really need to have ability to communicate and et cetera, et cetera. And we need your help. And Twitter would have gone, as Jack Dorsey in 2011, 2012 said, well, sure, but we don't have the capacity for that. And you know, we don't have the staff or the hard drives or anything else to be able to accomplish. I said, don't worry about that. We'll take care of that. We just have to know you're on board. And that's when Dorsey lost control of Twitter. And all of a sudden, you know, you had these subcontractors coming over from the government to help Twitter out with this joint mission to help free Arab, you know, these Arab thugocracies that their people were under. And then all of a sudden, once they'd kind of moved over there, they stayed over there. And all of a sudden, they ran everything. They got together with the Substack of Dorsey people, all the ones, the Indian engineers, and all of a sudden, away they went.
That's right. Well, and, you know, and they use useful tools like, you know, what is it, the Washington Post or wherever she works, Taylor Lorenz, to try to crush people that they don't like. And they try to push other kind of narratives, too. But in the end, it is all about, and I think it is that the globalists, the people who want to install the new liberal world order, they want to set that up and they want to crush any kind of dissent, because all of a sudden, you know, if you're taking the red pill, you wake up and you're like, well, wait a minute, I don't want to eat bugs. I want to drive whatever kind of car I want. I want to be able to educate my children the way I want. I want to be able to say that a biological man can't give birth to a baby. And they're like, no, you can't do that. And then I think COVID was sort of a big rollout for them, right? Anyone who disagreed with any of the COVID stuff that they were trying to push, because they were actively locking people down. They were destroying businesses. They were destroying
elections.
Yeah, exactly. All of that. And again, we're all just kind of silly. I mean, naively, I guess they would say, blaming the people at Twitter. And as Sundance has said, and again, as Tucker Carlson is now one of the main people starting to point out, because we've been kind of saying this for a little while, that this is actually, and I don't even really, Chuck, you, tell me what you think. I even almost hesitate to call it the government, because I don't think this is not the Biden administration. They're just a useful tool, just like Taylor Lorenz, right? I think there are bigger players here, and they're willing to use the Biden administration. The Biden administration is willing to be used. That was a problem with Trump, right? Trump wouldn't let
control
them
the Biden administration. Joe Biden doesn't control anything. I mean,
exactly.
He's just a senile old man who's willing to go along with whatever they want done. And it is amazing in its own way. And so, what is the lead story on Fox for the last few days and today? Well, first it was the Idaho murders, and now it's whether Scott Peterson is going to be executed or not, or whatever it is. And it's such minor news. I mean, it's usually that's murders
it's
and all that are not the stuff of
it's not news. It's clickbait, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's sort of like, has anybody but me noticed that like for like 14 years now that on any kind of website, there are these two really pretty little girls and it's like the world's most beautiful twins, what they must look like now, right? And you click on that. Well, I mean, they've got to be in their 80s by now. Those pictures have been up there forever. I mean, it's just pure clickbait. And that's what those things are. Well, I want to get to the media in a second, but I want to play the second Tucker Carlson bite, because he talks a little bit like you do too about how, you know, this is way bigger than just sort of controlling, whether I think whatever, whether I like Jared Polis or don't like Jared Polis, right? If we could please play Tucker Carlson the second bite.
It's all pretty weird. Could it be that while the rest of us imagined that Twitter was a social media site, a place to vent about politics and sports and the Kardashians, could it be that Twitter was actually, maybe primarily, a propaganda tool and intelligence gathering apparatus for a variety of intel agencies? Well, yes, that's possible. And you can see why various governments would want access to the information that Twitter had. Keep in mind that Twitter's direct message to DM feature functioned for many years as a kind of private text app for some of the world's most prominent people. So if you wanted to know what high government officials really thought, or if you wanted to know what well-informed sources were telling reporters off the record, you would want to see those messages. Did Twitter executives ever share those DMs, those private messages, with anyone outside the company without a warrant? We strongly suspect that they did. The proof, of course, resides on Twitter's servers, along with a lot else. Think about it. If Twitter has been functioning as an arm of government intel agencies, and clearly it has been, then its internal documents will contain information about all kinds of things, not just about the silencing of Donald Trump, not just about Tony Fauci's buffoonish lies about the COVID shot. No. Information about big history-shaping events. The sabotage of Nord Stream 2, for example. The supposed poison gas attacks in Syria. Both of them. The imprisonment of Julian Assange. Why is he there? The theft of incriminating emails from the DNC. What was that story? The motive behind the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And much, much more. In other words, Elon Musk now has control of the most significant trove of secret information ever to reside in private hands. So far, we have not seen much of it, and you have to wonder why we haven't. Let's hope that we do. Subscribe.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's a big question. I think, I don't know whether Elon Musk knew all of this when he bought Twitter or not, but he clearly must know it now. And you're right. I mean, there's one would have to say, so what did, well, number one, are all of those FBI agency and CIA people, are they still working there? Number one. Number two, if they are, what do they do? Like he said, what do they do all day? Let's take a look at their emails. Let's take a look at their things, because I think he's absolutely right. I think it's clear now. And you know, don't you think, Chuck, it's not just Twitter, it's Facebook, it's Google, it's Wikipedia, it's YouTube. All of these big tech companies are not in cahoots. I think it's fair to say they're, and it's not just the media that's an arm of the Democrat Party. I think they're all an arm of this deep state intelligence community.
Yeah, well, there's really no question about it, along with the Davos crowd and the World Economic Forum and all of those, and how they intertwine, you know, who knows? Maybe no one exactly knows, but it's. I mean, this story compared to Watergate, and Watergate was such minor buffoonery, and this is just really telling you how the world works. And so, how much of did you see on all the media? Virtually nothing. I mean, a little bit on some of the conservative media. The left-wing media is also just a tool of the deep state. I mean, they used to try to spin stories to the Washington Post. Now the Washington Post provides it for them. I mean,
right? They might as well just write their press releases. Exactly.
Yeah, and so it's you know, Glenn Greenwald. I don't have the article in front of me because I'm on this screen, but he was just saying, you know, what constitutes the liberal media is they go on Twitter. They see what everybody else is talking about, and they write some asinine left-wing trope about how it's racist, anti-Semitism, whatever else they're into at the point, while never leaving their apartments. I mean,
right. The
media is little. You know, they don't have any reporters anymore. They don't have any people digging up things. They just have commentary, endless commentary by Vox, Atlantic, CNN, Huffington Post, and the same old garbage just put out time and time again, which has almost no news value. I mean, it really has no news value.
Yeah, well, and this is from Stephen. If we didn't have a corrupt government and DOJ, there would be intelligence community operatives going to jail for depriving Americans of their First Amendment rights. Exactly. It is a crime, by the way. And then from Charlene, amazing that Carlson is allowed to talk about it. That's absolutely true, Charlene. And that's... Yes. Yeah. That's one of the things I worry about, because, you know, and briefly on the media, because you're absolutely right. If there were any actual real journalists at any of these news media organizations, this would be much harder to pull off, right? They would be looking for stuff. They would be talking to, they would be, rather than tweeting, you know, hey, if you have any dirt on Elon Musk, call us. They would be tweeting things like, hey, if you were a Twitter employee and you interacted with the CIA spy, can you let me know about it? But they don't. And
yeah, they had one with the Free Republic saying, group of prominent lawyers looking into Elon Musk lied on his immigration application. I mean, you know, gee, where'd that come from?
That's right. Well, and this from Stephen, Carlson can talk about it because he has ratings. If Soros gets his sponsors to complain or pull their ads, he will go dark on it. Yeah, you know, I worry that Tucker Carlson will just, I mean, because, you know, the Fox is not, but, you know, not conservative at all. Yeah, he's got the ratings. But at a certain point, and I think here's what we're seeing again, we saw going on now, the deep state, the Department of Homeland Security, there's a reason that they're now saying that, you know, spreading disinformation about the election or about COVID, it's dangerous to the community. And you can be called a domestic terrorist. There was a reason that they were trying to launch criminal investigations into parents at school boards. They need to shut people up. I mean, they don't even call it misinformation. We're now just disinformation, which is simply information they don't want to get out. And so now it's a crime, but it's even worse than that, Chuck. I mentioned to you, I was reading an article in Politico. Okay. This is a lead article in Politico today. The biggest threat to the U.S. isn't what you think. And then it says the Pentagon is increasingly waking up to serious national security hazards that are neither nukes, tanks, or bombs. Then it goes on to talk to some Pentagon guy, and they say, well, what are the biggest threats?
Oh, no, because I read the article. It's not some Pentagon guy.
Oh, it's an expert guy.
It's somebody with the Atlantic Council, and that's a Soros-controlled group.
Right.
And it's some analyst, a woman analyst from there, telling why that the Pentagon, and you kind of go, well, why does the Pentagon tell you that? I mean, it's just, it couldn't be more deep state-y.
Oh, well, yeah, here's what the Pentagon now is realizing are the main security threats: climate change. Okay. Oh, yeah. The food and energy insecurity created, by the way, by the governments that aren't letting farmers farm, that are increasing fuel prices, all of that kind of stuff. So we're creating our own, the government is creating its own biggest national security threat. And then on top of that, the disinformation. The Pentagon is more worried about than nuclear weapons, tanks, bombs, anything like that. They're more worried about disinformation. So now we've got the government saying, hey, look, you're a domestic terrorist, and we can and will, as we've seen, launch criminal investigations against you if you put out information that we don't like. We're going to call it disinformation. Now, all of a sudden, they've got the Pentagon doing that. Now, and you know, I mean, we can see what's going on in Brazil, right? We can see what's going on in China, where the military decides, acting at the arm of the government, what's a national security threat, right? The biggest national security threat, what they're telling us right there, are people who've taken the red pill, right? And we
all
know.
You can act in Brazil. Who's taking the right pill? Apparently, because you learn very little about it, of course, because we don't do news and
right.
The reporters don't do news. But apparently the police, and they have large police forces, are kind of on the side of the left wing, along with drug gangs and everyone else, while the army is acting somewhat neutrally, and they're hoping, Bolsonaro's hoping that they'll come in and do a coup of some sort. If they don't, then the left will take over and they will never let go.
Right. And you notice you don't hear, I mean, it's not, we have no doubt who the American deep state supports there, because you don't hear anything about what's going on in Brazil. You don't see very much coming out of that at all, right?
Well, what I don't understand, which maybe Sundance can explain, but Bolsonaro controls the government in theory, or did in theory, but the Twitter was used in order to help the left-wing non-government people, Lulu, take the election. And so how does that work? Are there kind of like the deep state outside of the military and inside the intel of Brazil or working against Bolsonaro, or who knows how many?
Well, look what happened with Trump, right? They decided they didn't like Trump. And look at that. Let me read some of the comments. Jacob says, could it be that Twitter has 100 million members, while Parler and Truth Social only have a few million, because the access at Twitter are bots and the FBI and other government agencies? I think partly they're just starting, but I think that's absolutely true. Charlene says a good point. This is from Peg Cage, mycolorgop.org. You two are right. What makes the news irrelevant? What makes the news is irrelevant to our life or future. Look locally. Who besides you is talking about the failures of the Colorado Republican Party to do what the party's purpose statement is, to promote Republican values and elect real Republicans to office, which means the government is corrupted and we the people get no justice. Stephen says,
well, you know, one of the things I was talking with a reader of the paper who called, he was talking about, well, why are you the only one that talks about Bill Andrews? I mean, there's nowhere else, so it can't be true. Why are you guys the only ones that points out about ballot harvesting and mail-in universal elections? And we get these outraged letters going, what do you mean?
No one else is saying this.
Ballot
can't be true.
That's not, how can that, that can't be true. We didn't see it in the Denver Post. And then, you know, even you were surprised this morning when I told you that the Denver Gazette, which is controlled by Phil Anschutz of Clara Media, his news business partner is Nine News and the whole Nine News operation. So, now, that's the conservative voice, right? I mean, it's just, there's so little news that actually gets out,
well,
locally and nationally.
And this is where, and to folks sometimes, too, I thought I'd want to talk about this just briefly. I mean, again, if people want to call in, 888-627-6008. Oh, before we do that, I was just going to, Jacob, you read my mind. I was going to say, feel free to raise your hand or unmute yourself and comment. Hey, Jacob, go ahead. What do you have to, hi.
Back. Before the second Iraq war, you remember Colin Powell had to introduce the weapons of mass destruction. That was actually a CIA operation, but they couldn't get it through the government unless the military was on board. back in 2020, when during the election, there's a news article where Trump was visiting the SCIF room of the military. They were actually watching the data going in and out and in and out. And I think it's more that the CIA is out to destroy is the deep state, and the military is the one that's going to have to control this if it ever gets out of hand. The same thing happened back in with Kennedy. There's a clip of him when he's leaving the Dallas airport to go downtown. The Secret Service agents surrounded his car, but then they were pulled off.
Ah.
I'll send you the link to that.
Okay.
But they were pulled off of the car, and then he went on alone without, well, I mean, there's a couple of Secret Service agents behind him, but they didn't surround the car. You know how they used to get up on the the edges of the car and surround
it. Right, and they would touch it and run with it.
I think this is all a CIA operation with the Twitter, but they can't get involved because the FBI is really the domestic police force.
And then I think what they do is, and we've seen that all the time. You saw that with the Mueller probe, right? I mean, and the people who were spying on Trump, you know, you work for the FBI, then you go out and you become a consultant and you get hired by Lawfare or whatever. And then you go back in. And I think that's what we saw, which we didn't know until just a few days ago at Twitter. You've got all these former FBI people. And like Tucker Carlson said, what does Twitter need a CIA agent for, right? And so all of a sudden now they go to work at Twitter. And I think that's, again, it's like Twitter, you know, they're not kind of helping out Twitter. They're running Twitter, I think. Mm-hmm. And Twitter, like Chuck, you said, Jack Dorsey kind of acknowledged that. He said, at a certain point, I realized I didn't have control over anything anymore. So I kind of just started doing other stuff.
Well, you could add, you know, you could kind of look back to Watergate and go, you know, the plumber's unit, kind of like, what did the White House need with CIA agents and FBI agents? At the White House, which means, you know, they needed them to do a lot of illegal stuff because they're good at doing illegal stuff. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jacob.
No, I was just going to say there's a theory out there that the CIA was the ones working to go into that room at night, this Watergate room, because they're trying to cover up there was a whole bunch of prostitutes being bought by the Democrats. And this was, they were trying to get the records out of that. And then they blamed it on they blamed it on Nixon, but Nixon was so afraid of himself that he tried to cover it up. And that's where it really went.
Could be, All right. Hey, Jacob, thank you. Good point.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Well, and again, I think what we're seeing, what is so scary is that now, so we've got Twitter now actually being, and the social, I think, again, it's not just Twitter, it's all of them, right? YouTube, I don't think YouTube really cared that you and I were talking about masks, so they ban us. I mean, they didn't just ban us. I'm like, ban for life. It's like, don't even ever try to start. We can track your computer. Don't even try to start another channel. Neither you nor your progeny nor their children's children can have any YouTube channels. I mean, YouTube doesn't care. Somebody's telling them to do that, right? And I think what we're learning is they're not just kind of secretly suggesting it to them. They're actually doing it. They're telling them straight up. Yeah, they're controlling it. And on top of that, like I said, all of a sudden there's a reason suddenly Politico is coming out with, you know, the Pentagon is increasingly concerned about people, about the populist, right?
And they knew that the Pentagon is a counterweight, which is why the Biden administration wanted to prevent extremism in the army.
Right. Well, and back to where Twitter becomes so powerful with the media. And I mean, I think there's a lot of things going on there. I think a lot of it is evil. You know what I mean? A lot of it. I think there are a lot of reporters out there who actually are kind of in part and parcel of all of this, believe in it, think that they're going to benefit from it. And so then they, you know, they deliberately push it. I think there's a lot of other people who, for instance, I'm going to talk about the Nicholas Sandman thing, right? The kid that had that incident interaction with that Indian guy, right? And it was captured on Twitter and then pushed out by Twitter and Twitter bots, deliberately pushed out. And all of a sudden, he's a MAGA kid attacking this Indian guy, and boom, it blows up, and everybody reported it. Well, there was a time. Now, no media organization actually saw it, right? No media organization witnessed it. No media organization talked to either one of them right after. Afterwards, it was a Twitter operation that put that out there. And there would have been a time when the media, your average reporter would say, well, we need to verify this, right? We need to, before we report it, we need to find the kid, right? But that's not the case anymore. They're like, their attitude is, well, we're just reporting what's on Twitter. And that's where Glenn, remember the fake nurse story that you and I kind of broke that. We are during in the early days of COVID, a bunch of patriots were riding their cars back and forth at the state capitol, protesting the lockdowns. And then two people dressed up like nurses with masks, and they recovered, you couldn't see who they were, came out and they stood there. And then somebody, not a reporter, it turns out it was one of their friends, does this little interview with them where they say they just came from working overnight at the COVID ward, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're just there to tell people that, you know, these people, these MAGA populists are threatening people's lives, right? Now, no one in the local media or national media talked to these people. No one even saw it happen. And later on, I had an NBC producer sheepishly admit to me that they called every hospital in the Denver area trying to find these people. And the hospital, they all said, they don't work here. They don't work here. They don't work here. We were the only ones who had, because of a source that we had, who said, those weren't nurses at all, right? But there was a time when before the media reported that, they would have tried to verify it. They would have had to have seen it themselves. But what they do is they're lazy anymore, and they're short-staffed. I think there's some non-evil reasons, but they do it. They just see it on Twitter. And so then they report what's on Twitter. And then pretty soon they're reporting people reacting on Twitter. And it is exactly as Glenn Greenwald said, nobody even leaves their house anymore, right? They just sit there and they monitor. I've seen, you guys would see in newsrooms, they've got Twitter screens, so they've got numerous feeds going up all the time, right? And that's where they get the news anymore. And so if you're the CIA, that whatever the deep state, and you want to push a narrative or suppress a narrative, it is so, I mean, you've got reporters now who don't even bother to question it, right? They're just like, well, I'm just reporting what's on Twitter.
Well, that's, yeah, you're right. I mean, Twitter became what the New York Times once was, the source, because they used to have reporters and they would drive the stories because nobody else had reporters. So whatever they were driving, everybody would lop onto and comment on or whatever else, because they had no news of their own. I mean, Fox has no right. journalists out there, right. National journalists looking into the Pentagon or what lots of people are doing. It's pretty amazing. Right. Another kind of related one.
But you want to read some comments first real quick?
Sure.
We got some great ones, just because I always feel bad when we're too busy to read them. So this is from Jim. When it dawned on the left they couldn't control President Trump and that he actually meant what he said, they unleashed all weapons to take him down. Exactly. And they're doing it again. From Stephen, when Obama took office, the good officers left the service via retirement or resignation, and all that are left are the PC social justice officers. They're just political hacks. Charlene, Lenin didn't have Twitter, only newspapers and force, but was able to divide and conquer and subjugated millions. Mass communication technology may actually be on our side to thwart the tyrant's message. Yeah, that's why they're all attacking Elon Musk now. And Dr. Donna, back to the COVID thing and going into hospitals at the beginning when they were claiming hospitals were overrun, many were empty. And then from Charlene, yeah, Julie, those fake nurses brought it home to me how decentralized the tyrants are in our own backyard. And then from Jacob, if you guys are on there, he's got that link to that where the Secret Service agents, when we're told to stand down. But yeah, I think, you know, there is no, you've got conservative media, which is why they freak out about Truth Social so much. And I think why they're freaking out about Elon Musk, because it's not clear where he's going to go with this. But at least for right now, he's allowing dissenting voices back on. He's allowing people who say, oh, guess what? Those COVID vaccines, not what they, you know, not what they claim to be. And what about some of the side effects that no one's supposed to talk about?
Another subject, I mean, Elon Musk was invited on stage by Dave Chappelle in San Francisco and got heartily booed. And again, like, we don't want the truth. We don't want to find out.
I go back to, exactly. And this is a scary thing. For those of us who have taken the red pill, and again, I kind of apologize for my science fiction matrix thing, but remember we played a long time ago, oh, and we got banned from YouTube for playing this for a day because they said it was a copyright violation. There was a funny The Office kind of skit on the red pill, blue pill. And the guy is there and he says, take the red pill. You know, do you want the red pill now that you see all this? He goes, no, I like the blue pill. And he's like, right, but you know, the blue pill's fake, right? You know, that's not real. That's fake. That's bad for you. And he goes, yeah, I said, but I like it better. Right. Uh-huh. I mean, I think there, and that is to me the scary thing, right? And when you have Rhino establishment people, when you've got the deep state, when you have all of these people saying, no, this blue pill, it's so much nicer. Those red pill people, they're mean. They do mean tweets, right? And they say mean things and they offend people. It's like, you just take your nice little, you know, blue pill and you plug yourself back into the matrix. And by the way, those of you who won't, the Pentagon, you should know, now considers you the biggest security threat to the country. And they've got a lot of tanks and stuff like that.
Well, one of the things that has just come up, and it's kind of related to that COVID, all the COVID misinformation, disinformation, truth, which they claimed was something else, was DeSantis wisely, and obviously he's a person who does think about how do I affect things, as opposed to Abbott and a lot of other Republican governors.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, okay, I'll bring a grand jury together if the Supreme Court allows it, in which they will look into the lies we were told to by Pfizer and everyone else. And I don't have any sound clips. I should have gotten a couple, but they were basically, he was saying, you know, the CDC now issues a proclamation and it isn't worth the papers written on. And that's true. I mean, the CDC, you know, I love these doctor's offices and I go to a lot of doctor's offices. So, but on their phone, they'll always go, we follow the CDC, you know, directives to keep you safe and keep you healthy. And you're kind of like, you're not keeping me healthy. What do you mean?
You know, you're trying to give me a vaccine that could, I mean, yeah. Every day you read about another perfectly healthy person killed over from some kind of heart related thing, right? That they never had before they got the vaccine. Well, and again, I think Tucker Carlson is right on this, that it, in its own way, this is not in its own way, but this is much more alarming, much bigger than just trying to ban people for saying masks don't work, right? Much bigger. I mean, I think what we're seeing and particularly when you look at it on an international level, you're seeing the deep state in cahoots with, I got to go with the new liberal world order people, right? All working together to push certain narratives that benefit them. And not just in the United States, like I said, not just about wearing masks or not wearing masks, but I think at levels that we're just now beginning to sense even exist.
But, you know, to DeSantis's credit, and, you know, I'm not sure how much he is a creature of the deep state himself, but you know, thinking about it, go, well, okay, how can we address it? We'll put our own grand jury on and have subpoena right. powers and can get lots of stuff in. So if they're telling everybody that this would be great for a 6-month-old and it's really very deleterious for, there's almost nothing to be gained for the six-month-old, because he's not going to die from COVID. So why would you put him under these awful vaccines?
Right, right.
And the word vaccine should be used. Some other word for it should be used. It's not a, because it's not a vaccine. It's not giving you a little bit of the disease in order that your body creates its own antibodies
right.
and stuff.
Right.
It's a chromosome.
But it's a genetic modification, right?
Yeah, modification.
Well, did you see, here's the thing too, and they're continuing to use COVID though. Now you see some cities are like, oh, maybe we need masks again. There's a new Canadian study out which found that unvaccinated people get in more traffic accidents than vaccinated people. And now they're going to use this in Canada to raise the auto insurance rates of unvaccinated people,
excellent.
Right? Now, yeah. What the frick? You could probably do a study that found more unvaccinated people drank milk. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. They're using, because it worked before, right? They're continuing to use COVID. They're not worried about COVID. They're not worried about whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, but they are still going to use that for as long as we let them get away with it.
Well, but they're always figuring ways to control you, ways to have more power, ways to do this, use the levels of government or insurance or something else. Republicans do none of that with the exception of DeSantis. I mean, DeSantis is one of the few that goes, wait a minute, what could I do as governor of Florida to fight back? Not just not do what they want, but actually fight back.
Right.
And once again, he may just be another deep state agent. I mean, certainly Sundance thinks he's maybe a deep state agent. And, you know, he is now my hero in the sense that he said outrageous pronunciations that I thought were absolutely wrong. It turned out to be absolutely right. So.
Right. Yeah. This guy, this conservative treehouse guy, he has a very good, deep and broad understanding of the way things work. Well, let's briefly talk about Ron DeSantis because, here is what his concerns about Ron DeSantis are. Number one, one of his main financial backers is that Ken Griffith, the hedge fund guy, who said that the Republican Party needs to crush this deep vein of populism and get everything back onto the corporate footing where it belongs, which is a total globalist thing. I mean, that's concerning. On the other hand, is DeSantis saying, hey, look, I'm going to take the money where I can get it. And that doesn't mean I'm his puppet. You know, I don't know. You know more about typically when you take the money, you have to be the puppet. So that's concerning. And on the other hand, though, DeSantis continues to do.
You know, in the 1930s, all the Russian, I mean, the German industrialists all thought, great, we'll take Hitler in and control them. And no, that didn't happen. Just Hitler controlled them. So maybe DeSantis will prove, but Trump is. Apparently, he's got a huge announcement tomorrow. I can't imagine what the huge announcement. What is there? The huge.
Yeah, we could speculate on that for a second here too. So, okay, Trump big announcement. And again, anybody, if you want to unmute yourself and comment, you sure can do that. Otherwise, we'll just read it here. I'm thinking that Trump is going to endorse Harmeet Dillon for RNC chair.
That's an excellent pick.
That's my guess.
Come out with yourself. That's good.
Well, Chuck, that's an unfair question.
That's very good.
But here's the thing. All right, in full disclosure, I didn't totally steal it. I didn't actually see the Trump. And so if you guys don't know what you're talking about, Trump is putting on Truth Social. He's got himself an America Needs a Hero. He's going to have a major announcement tomorrow. I didn't see that. All I saw somebody else saying, I bet he's announcing his RNC chair endorsement. But I read that. I'm like, oh, I bet that's absolutely. Because then I went and saw the actual little announcement. I think that could be it. Another thing I think it could be, Carrie Lake's going to be his running mate, but I think it's way too early to do a running mate. And Carrie Lake is a little bit, she's got
partially right encouraging. I've sort of given up on the courts too. They are going to have the motions for dismissal come in tomorrow.
And, for what?
Election challenge to the Arizona.
Oh, to Arizona. Okay.
And then potentially a trial in December 21st or 22nd or 23rd and so forth. So, I mean, they actually have a trial, you know, that it'll be shocking because, you know, the key to all your life.
Of course, will it be covered, right? I mean, that's a thing. If they actually have a trial, same with DeSantis. I mean, the good thing about DeSantis is he kind of pushes it and he kind of forces them to cover what he says, right? I mean, he's inside the media's head. So rather than ignoring it, they kind of, you know, they try to report on it. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's what I think. On the other hand, though, I will say this, Trump is, you know, he does this in the major announcement could be something like where we all go, that's a major announcement. Do you know what I mean? My major announcement is that I'm going to have a second. It could be something completely lame as well.
I don't know, but I think that's a good, you know, I can't think of anything he could influence too much, but, you know, election of the RNC chair a little bit anyway.
Right. So that, this is from Peg is saying, have you all heard about Mike Lindell running for RNC chair and your thoughts? Yeah, though, Peg, I think he'd be good, but I also read that he and Harmeet Dillon had a talk today. So I'm not sure what's going on there. I got the impression that Mike Lindell did not agree to step down, but that they agreed that they both hate Ronna McDaniel. Because I think that
so does everybody else. And right. Nebraska GOP head, who's now a grassroots guy, took away the endorsement of her, and there have been other ones.
Somebody should ask Christy Burton Brown who she would endorse for the RNC chair,
sure,
right?
Sure.
She's like, right, she's busy. I'm busy. I don't have time to comment on that. Yeah, I don't know. I think that you know, there again, you see all, you know, that you're on target when all of the usual suspects come out screaming about how awful you are, about how awful. But it, you now you see on the Hill every other day, all they do is they show Marjorie Taylor Greene's picture on something and then talk about extreme, a GOP worried about extreme views. You know, Trump has a campaign off to a bad start. It's all this stuff. They wouldn't be saying that if Trump's campaign actually was off to a bad start. I mean, it's not even, he just announced, right? It's not, you could say good things, bad things happen, whatever. So
I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Well, why don't you give folks a little bit of a,
okay,
we just got about 5 minutes left. Oh, does somebody want to talk? Johnny,
yeah, this is Johnny. I'm on my way to Amsterdam, but I wanted to know, do you think that these guys are gonna do this budget thing, or do you think the Republicans might force it to wait until everybody is in place next year?
Well, I mean, you certainly hope that the Republicans wouldn't want the Democrats to lead, so that when they get in, they have nothing to do. Normally, you wouldn't, but with Mitch McConnell, I mean, he's an extraordinary human being. So I'm holding out at least a little hope that I'm not sure they could stop it per se, but maybe they can.
I heard if Nancy and Chuck do this, we have to wait 10 months before we can actually do something. Right. Then that's their excuse for saying, "Well, we wanted to, but we have to wait." Right.
Yeah. Oh, what do you
think? All their priorities, along with some, 10% to the big guy.
Johnny, what do you think is going to happen?
I think that they should stop all this talk and just do it and stop misleading us like they did the last time when Trump, we had the House, we had the presidency, and then forced his hand down. So at the end, they're going to show what we really are, but then just show that they're a bunch of rhinos or what they say, the Uniparty.
But you're absolutely right. I have a feeling that, I mean, what I was reading, something about all of the earmarks, in other words, the pork projects, and there was like bazillions of dollars. They tried to sneak back in that stupid, media cartel bill too. And you're right. I mean, the heart of the issue is what you said there, Johnny, is like they say they're going to do something and then they never do. And then they use it. Then they use whatever as an excuse to why they didn't do it in the first place. Hey, have fun in Amsterdam. Have safe travels there. I don't know.
That's very dangerous.
Okay. I have a feeling, can they stop it? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
But you're right. I mean, would it shock any of us if Mitch McConnell, who now says, after withholding money from candidates, who now says the whole reason that his candidates didn't win was Donald Trump? It's like, what? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mitch McConnell is like an idiot and a buffoon. And that's just the thing they jump on, right? And they don't care. We were talking earlier today, Chuck, and I forget exactly in what context, but I was like, it's clear that all of these people, it's like they hate it when the voters actually say something and the voters actually think that they should have a voice in something. They're like, you stupid, pesky voters, if only we could get rid of you, everything would run much more to our benefit, much more easily.
I mean, just look at Republican leaders over the last 10 years of John Boehner, Paul Ryan, who was the leader before McConnell? I forget. But yeah, McConnell, I mean, and McCarthy just marginally better. That's why you really hope DeSantis isn't just a Decepticon, because there's few honest, decent Republicans out there. I mean,
and Carrie Lake too. I mean, I think she's a future star. And I think, that's where I go back to, does Trump have his issues and his baggage? Yes, absolutely. But I think he is somebody. I mean, I'm sure if you're Trump, you're reading this Twitter stuff and said, knew it, right? Other people, Mitch McConnell's going like, oh, but that's horrible. That can't be true. I'm sure that's not true. Meanwhile, let's investigate Elon Musk for possibly lying on his visas kind of thing, right? Yeah, right. And let's shut down Tesla. Let's cause him so many headaches that he disappeared. And it's a whole thing. That's what Mitch McConnell is saying, right? And there's just a handful of Republicans who are saying, hey, we should look into this. And Donald Trump, I think, is one of them. You got to hope that Donald Trump will get in there and just blow up the FBI, right? Just get rid of the FBI.
Well, it's, not if he has people like Mitch McConnell as a majority leader. The one thing good about the new Congress, I mean, Trump was successful in 93 or 94% of his endorsements. So a lot of people coming into the government will not be Mitch McConnell acolytes. I mean, a few will be, but most of them won't
right.
be. I mean, last time he ran, which is a couple months ago, 12 people voted for Rick Scott. So at least there are 12 honest people in the Senate. But it's an amazing process and really scary. I mean, what you think about your country today, what you thought 20 years ago, is radically different for a lot.
Yeah, this is from Stephen. Kennedy tried to blow up the CIA, but that isn't what got blown up. Oh, and then from Eric, is this your speaker, or from Barney rather? Eric, middle name Turd Cantor, was that the former speaker?
Eric Cantor, he's the number two. He's number two in the House. He got upset by a guy from Virginia. Who we had on our program, then he got upset by a Democrat 2 years later. But yeah, I mean, the establishment Republicans are every bit as bad or worse. They had Mike McCall, and who knows who bought that fool off. He's now head of Senate, the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He's Tucker Carlson's a Russian agent.
Yeah, a Russian agent. Exactly. I mean, it's like, okay, it's like, forget it. We're over Russia, okay? Quit talking about Russian agents. Well, you know, I think there's obviously, it'll be very interesting to see what Elon Musk does and does not release. I think, just to kind of wrap it up, I think Tucker Carlson's absolutely correct. There's stuff there. There's stuff there. There's exchanges. There's, you know, what are these people doing there? And will we ever find out? Or is this, we're just going to have to go on from here? And bit more, even more importantly, will they be stopped? My guess is, like he said, you know, you try to stop the CIA, that doesn't ever go very well. So, I don't know. But at least it's coming out, right? And at least we can keep taking the blue pill. And speaking of that, on Friday, Party Friday, we're going to have Scott Powell on. He's going to talk a little bit more about the globalization and particularly going on in Europe, the things they're doing to the food sources. You know, like the Pentagon, big source of national security issue is, you know, the food insecurity. It's like you're creating the food insecurity. So he's
going to talk about, among many other things, is, you know, the Dutch government decided it's going to close down all of its farms.
I mean,
that's good. That's a good idea.
Particularly if
all in the name of global warming. I mean,
if you're a farmer, that's bad. If you eat, that's bad. That pretty much takes care of everybody, right?
Just amazing.
So we're going to do that. Hey, want to thank everybody joining us on Zoom in the chat sections. Remember, you can catch all of our shows. There's links to everything at chuckandjulie.com. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on Rumble is the main place you can catch it if you want to watch the video. Substack.
Go out and get your Christmas gift, because Julie was out over at the Cherry Creek Mall. I was shocked how deserted it was.
There was nobody there. Okay, real quick story. I like to go usually, you know, kind of like a week, but week and a half before Christmas, I like to go to the mall and shop a little bit for myself. You know, it's just festive, right? All the people there. It was so depressing. I was so depressing. And I had to pay $2 to park, and I couldn't even find anything worth buying. So that's just my unendorsement there. Hey, everybody.
Well, that last part was encouraging, but.
Oh, yeah. At least our wallets are okay.
Hey, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Great show. And look forward to Friday and another Party Friday.
Party Friday. Bye, everybody.